119 News Talk 1290 CJBK. Welcome back to London at Large. My name is Al Coombs. Nick Chernosky on the other side of the glass. Appreciate you being with us. Watch out for the winds outside. We're going to see gusts 40 to 60 kilometers an hour overnight, starting any time now. Periods of rain off and on throughout the night as well. We'll hit a low of 10 degrees, mainly cloudy tomorrow. They're talking about the wind sticking around, and unfortunately, the temperature falling to 5 degrees in the afternoon. This sucks. I got to say this, okay? Friday, a mix of sun and cloud and a high of only 3.
What? That's still pretty good.
No, no.
We're above the zero?
Listen, Mother Nature, we had a deal here. We weren't going to go below 10 degrees. That was the deal. Wasn't it?
I'm still waiting for that knee-deep snow. I'm stoked about it.
It might be on its way. The lows they're calling for already in the minuses. As we look in the long weekend, all of the lows below freezing, believe it or not. Stupid. Get outside while you can. 14 degrees right now. 14 degrees outside the studios of News Talk 1290 CJBK. Want to turn your attention to what's going on tomorrow over at Western University. It's going to be called Journeys of Migration. And it is showcase stories of both established and newly arrived immigrants in London. Somewhat timely. Huh? Somewhat timely. Joining us now to tell us all about it, and somebody that we really need to talk a lot to, Dr. Victoria S. is a professor, Department of Psychology. She's also the director for Center for Research on Migration and Ethnic Relations. Pretty incredible resume. Dr. Esses, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on.
There are so many questions that I want to ask you that are so timely right now. Let's just start with what's coming up tomorrow at Western University. What will we be seeing?
Okay, so tomorrow we're hosting an event called Journeys of Migration. It is at 4 to 6 p.m., and it's in the University Council Chambers, UCC University Community Center Council Chambers, room 315 at Western. Attendance is free, but we're asking people to register because the room is getting filled up very quickly. And registration is available at journeysofmigration2015.eventbrite.ca.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you about the event?
I was just going to say, it's like you've done this before, Doctor.
So the event is showcasing the stories of immigrants and refugees in our community. We've been doing this for a couple of years now, so this is our third annual event. And the idea is to have people hear firsthand the stories from immigrants of what it's like to come to London and settle in our community, and also to hear about the many, many contributions that these individuals are making to our community.
It's such a timely topic. Can I ask you when you started putting this together? Because it is so timely, it almost feels like you said, last week we got to get this together.
So we put this together, this is an annual event, so already by the end of the summer we were starting to plan for this event. It hasn't changed that much since we initially started planning it, but I have to say there is a lot of interest right now.
Let me just ask point blank, a lot of people with concerns and questions with regards to the Syrian refugee status. Will there be a Syrian refugee there?
Yes. So, and this was planned all along, since September, actually. We have a presentation by a Syrian refugee family. It will be a father and his teenage daughter, Mohammed Amin, and his teenage daughter, Yasmin. They arrived in London end of September, and they are government-assisted refugees from Syria. They will be speaking about their experiences leaving Syria and eventually coming to Canada.
This is all taking place tomorrow. What do you hope that people take away from this?
I hope people take away from this that immigrants are part of our community and that they are making many contributions to our community and that we should really be empathizing and feeling for the stories that they have to tell us. So I should mention, in addition to the Syrian refugee family, we have three other speakers.
Right, please.
And the first speaker is Bianca Lopez, who came to Canada from Brazil as an international student. She's a social entrepreneur, and she was awarded recently the 20 Under 40, one of the 20 Under 40 awards, as an industry leader who gives back to the community. Our second speaker is Bassam Lazar, who came to Canada from Iraq back in the 1990s with his parents and nine siblings. And he also came to Canada as a government-assisted refugee. And he is now a lawyer, a practicing lawyer, and a partner in a local restaurant in London. And the third speaker is Phong Pham, who escaped from Vietnam with her brother on a boat to Indonesia and came to Canada in the 1980s. She's now a successful business owner, and she donates a percentage of her earnings to local charities and gives back in that way. And then, of course, we have the Syrian refugee father and daughter speaking as well.
We're speaking with Dr. Victoria Essis, who is the professor of Department of Psychology. She's also the director for Center for Research on Migration and Ethnic Relations. As we get word, an event that's coming up tomorrow, and it's free to attend. All that they're asking is that you please just register. Easiest way is if you Google search Eventbrite, third annual Journeys of Migration. You'll be able to register right there. Like I said, free to attend. They just need to make sure that they know that you're coming. And so just go right to Eventbrite, and you'll be able to Google search Journeys of Migration. You'll be able to find it that way. Can I ask you a little bit more along your expertise professionally? Would that be okay?
Of course.
This is such an interesting topic. This has been a very difficult week for myself, as we've been dealing with people angry at the idea of Syrian refugees coming over and maybe not totally understanding what the refugee process is like. And as such, that leaves people scared. And when you don't know about something or don't know fail-safes that are put in, obviously people are going to be scared. What do you hope that they will learn as they sit down? And we're going to get refugees one way or another. What do you hope that through this whole process in 10 years they'll be able to look back and say, now I understand?
I'm hoping in 10 years we'll look back and say that Canada stood up and did something rather than being passive and not helping. And, I mean, you're asking my personal opinion now. I think Canadians will in 10 years hopefully be proud of what we did at this time, and realize that we did make a contribution, and also see the Syrian refugees as a part of our country in that time, and think about how they have integrated so well into the community.
One of the calls we got, which I think deals with maybe what a lot of the concerns of people who aren't overly familiar are, and it's kind of interesting that you would have the panel that you have for this event, is refugees come over, and then what? And there's this idea that they would come over and not be employable. For the most part, what is a refugee that is coming over from Syria or an immigrant coming from any country for that matter? What is the criteria for them when they come over to make sure that they aren't just sitting around and not having a fulfilling life?
Okay, so two parts to answer that question. First of all, a large percentage of the immigrants that we bring into Canada are coming in as skilled immigrants, which means that they have to meet very high criteria for education, work experience, etc., in order to get into Canada as a skilled worker. And we have a new system called Express Entry, which is picking the top people who are applying each year with the goal of making sure that they get into the labor market as quickly as possible. In terms of refugees, you know, sometimes people think, well, refugees are the people who are not educated or haven't got a lot of work experience, and that is not necessarily true. So, for example, Mohamed Amin, who will be talking tomorrow, is trained as an engineer and worked as an engineer in Syria and has a lot of experience. His daughter was training as a medical lab technician and hopes to continue to that training now in Canada. So, you know, depending on where people are coming from and the experiences they've had, some refugees or some immigrants coming in may have less or more experience, and but many, many of them have a lot to contribute to our society, and we need immigrants. And and we bring in people who we think will help our country.
It's going to be a wonderful presentation, to be sure, and we'll send everybody again to the Eventbrite page and look up Journeys of Migration. Let me ask you, as you start to hear the stories of the way that different people came to Canada and the way that they experienced Canada, what is their experience once they get here? For the most part, I'll tell you why I asked the question. My concern is that right now we're in such an intolerant climate that there may be difficulties as they try to assimilate into Canada.
Okay, so that's kind of a loaded question. I mean, it depends if the cup is half full or half empty. Canadians tend to have quite positive attitudes toward immigrants and refugees. That doesn't mean that that's 100% of Canadians or that everybody believes that. So most of our communities tend to be welcoming. Of course, there's intolerance and there's prejudice and discrimination. And, you know, people like me and the partners that we have on this event, we work to dispel some of the myths about immigrants and about refugees, for example. And let me just also mention that this event is not only a Western event. It's an event being put on with the London and Middlesex Local Immigration Partnership, the London Cross-Cultural Learner Center, and the South London Neighborhood Resource Center, all of whom work with immigrants and refugees and, you know, spend time working on promoting a more welcoming community.
Wonderfully said, Doctor. I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. Victoria Esses, again, a professor, Department of Psychology, Director, Center for Research on Migration and Ethnic Relations. She is also a principal investigator with Pathways to Prosperity Partnership. And again, please jump on to Eventbrite if you want more information on the event. Jump on to eventbrite.ca, that's B-R-I-T-E-C-A, and just look through there for registration for Journeys of Migration. And you'll be able to find it through there. I'm still dealing with emails and everything about different conversations that we've had either Monday or yesterday with regards to refugees and taking in refugees. A text has come in, and I think if you're going to have a problem with bringing in 25,000 Syrian refugees, this is the problem that you should be having. This is the only one that I feel is acceptable, and it's an excellent point. Text her in at 10-12-90. Muslims aren't the problem. Christians aren't the problem. Liberals aren't the problem. Conservatives aren't the problem. The problem is extremism. ISIS doesn't represent Muslims, just like the KKK doesn't represent Christians. That being said, and we can't afford to all of a sudden feed and shelter 25,000 refugees. That being said, if we can all of a sudden afford to feed and shelter 25,000 refugees, why the heck can't we afford to feed and shelter 25,000 homeless Canadians? That, to me, is the most sound argument that I have heard of somebody opposed to bringing in the 25,000 Syrians. My personal belief is, and the argument, the only argument that I would use, and this is not to try to convince anybody of anything, but we have social programs here designed to try to help people. We don't have a group biting at our heels threatening to kill us, and the only place that we could run to is out of the country. Now, I also understand entirely the argument but some of those, there are cracks in the system, Al. There are social systems that don't work. There are people that have fallen through the cracks and are dying and starving. There are homeless people everywhere. Why don't we take care of our own before we look elsewhere? And that's a perfectly valid argument. Perfectly valid. But I would encourage anybody that is going through any other argument other than that to please register in for this. Journeys of Migration. Ask questions of the people that are going to be there. Speak to the Syrian refugee. I had a wonderful opportunity to speak with a guy who's new to the country. He was going back probably about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. He's from a country called Eritrea. which is described by a lot of people as the North Korea of Africa. It's a branch off of Ethiopia, and a very closed government, et cetera, et cetera. And I had a chance to talk to him, and I was just like, well, like, when you see the stuff that's going on right now on the TV and everything, how close of an experience was it to what you were experiencing? And this is a guy, he's 22 right now. He's at Western University, going to become an engineer. Very, very smart guy. And he said, oh, no, that's exactly what it's like. Well, but what made you run in the first place? And he started laughing. He says, a few hundred people with a gun saying they were going to kill me. Oh, okay. Oh, that would probably make you run pretty quick. And how did it work? Did you go with your family? He said, you tried to. You certainly ran and you tried to stay with your family. But look at how many people there are pushing and shoving. That's why dads are holding their kids so tight. That's why moms are screaming when they lose their child. They don't know if they're ever going to see them again. It's not like they're a lot of these people just said, well, geez, you know, I don't need a better life in Canada. Let's go there. No. They were forced from where they wanted to go. And a lot of these people had good jobs. A lot of these people had no reason for them to want to leave work, apart from if they didn't leave their home right then and there, they would have been killed. Their family would have been killed. They would have been tortured, some of them, because of religious beliefs. And unfortunately, I don't know. And then I asked him about, I said, were you in a refugee camp? He said, oh, yeah, I was in a refugee camp. And I said, oh, yeah, what was that like? And he says, honestly, you don't wish that on your worst enemy. He said, you're in limbo. In his situation, his dad had come over and to Canada and was working very, very hard in order to get enough money to bring the other family over here. And 5 years he had to live in a refugee camp. And said, it's just terrible. You don't have anything. He said, I mean, whatever you carried on your back, that's what you had. And people will say, well, you made the choice, you ran away. I'm not going to get into the argument of that. All I'm trying to do is paint a better picture of what is still this misnomer out there, that people that are in refugee camps want to get into Canada because they thought it would be easier of a life than what they had wherever they were. I also think it would be really interesting to hear the stories compared to of, in this case, there was a girl from Brazil that came over as a student and decided to stay in Canada. What that process was like. But I really think that the discussion and just the learning of what a refugee coming from another country to here is going to be like, and getting rid of all of these misnomers that they're uneducated, that they can't work, they just want to come over here for no reason whatsoever other than it might be a little bit easier. And part of the reason that we would in Canada try to bring over 25,000 refugees is because we just don't realize how awful the situation is and what the refugee camp is actually like. I accept entirely the philosophy. I accept it entirely that if we're going to shelter 25,000 refugees, why aren't we doing more to help us here in Canada? I accept that. It's just not my personal philosophy, but I completely understand it. Another text just coming in here. Many Canadians take our lifestyle for granted. Refugees appreciate what we have to offer more and are willing to work hard to achieve a fulfilling life. And I probably agree with you, and that's certainly what the doctor Victoria S. was reiterating as well, is for the most part, they come over here and want to be a part of a country that they recognize is not chasing them out.